Well, praise the Lord. What I want to do today, first of all, I just want to start off by saying, as I always do, I want to give the Lord a hand clap. I want to give the Lord a praise because the Lord Jesus Christ saved me.
Glory.
I want to thank him for the opportunity to stand back here behind this pulpit and preach this very sermon to the ears that are listening. And I just want to give him praise. I want to give him glory because it takes a large God to call a sinful man like me behind a pulpit that was 7 years ago, was behind an old bar stool. But 7 years later, he put me behind an old pulpit. And I just want to preach his word now. I just want to give him glory. I just want to preach his name because that was the name to save me. When I was down and out and I was on my way to a devil's hell, I cried out for Jesus. And you know what, my friends? He didn't turn me aside. He didn't say, no, I'm busy today. He reached down and said, I'm here for you, my son. And he picked me up and he saved me. And that's the reason why I'm here today. So I'm not afraid to shout about that king. That's right. I'm not afraid to shout. You know, in the book of John, Jesus said, there's come a day when they that worship me must worship me in spirit and in truth. And I'm just here to tell you today, I chose to worship him in spirit and in truth today. And my friends, I chose to do what the disciples chose to do. See, disciples are in the book of Luke. They were running around the streets. They were going, Hail the King! Hosanna to the King! Man, they were praising Jesus as they came in there. And you know what happened? As Jesus comes rolling on into town, you know the devil's crowd would be out there in a little corner. And you know the devil's crowd, they're always out there whenever you start shouting for Jesus. Oh, quiet down. You're starting to really embarrass me. You know how that devil's crowd is?
Yeah.
Well, here the old devil's crowd comes to Jesus. But you know what? I love the response Jesus gave him. Because Jesus didn't say, you know what? You guys are right. This is totally embarrassing. I'm going to shut these men up because they don't need to be shouting that loud for me.
Well,
I love what he said. He looked at them and said, hey, if these men keep quiet, the rocks are going to shout in their place. And you know what, my friends? They didn't keep quiet. They kept on shouting. Hey, you know what else I love? Oh, man, I loved old Zacchaeus. When he went up there in that old tree, and man, he found Jesus. You know what he did? He didn't show up when the devil's crowd said, hey, Zacchaeus, keep it down up there. You're going to wake someone. No, he kept saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. That's what he did, my friends. And that's what I'm here to do too, my friends. I'm going to shout it. I'm going to preach it. I'm going to preach on the housetops. I'm going to preach on the rooftops. I'm going to preach on the street. I'm going to preach everywhere. I don't care where you put me at. You put me anywhere. You put me in a jail cell. I'll preach Jesus.
Yeah.
Because that's what he did. He saved me, my friends. But here today, I want to start out now. I want to get things rolling now with just a little introduction for you tonight, my friends. Tonight, I want to speak about the greatest of kings become the lowest of men. I want to talk about the greatest of kings and how he was born in the most humblest of places. Father, Lord, I just give you glory and I give you praise right now. Father, I thank you, Lord God, for the opportunity to stand up here and preach your word. Father, I thank you, Lord, for all the hearts that are listening to this sermon tonight. Father, I thank you for the ears that are hearing tonight. Father, I thank you for each man, woman, and child in this audience, Lord. And everyone, Lord God, that's listening to this sermon by CD. Father, I thank you for them all. Lord, you know each one's burdens. You know each one's heart. Father, if there's anyone for this audience, Lord God, that does not know Christ, that does not know where he or she is going to go if they were to die tonight. Father, I pray tonight is the night that you rescue them. Tonight, I pray, Father, is the night that they finally realize that you're alive and you're well. And Lord God, that you're still on the throne and you still want to save them. Lord God, I thank you, Lord God, you didn't just save certain ones. Lord, I'm so thankful, Lord God, your salvation's open to the whole world. Lord God, your word says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Lord, that's why I'm here to preach tonight, Lord. I'm here to preach that only begotten Son. And it's in his name that I pray. Amen. I'm going to start talking tonight for a few minutes here about the greatest of kings. You know, we live in a country where we take a lot of things we honor a lot of people. And one particular office we kind of like to honor. We honor the president. See, a lot of us like to go around, and the president walked in the room, oh man, every eye would turn. I don't know if you ever sat there and watched on your television and you ever see the president's speeches. When the president calls the meeting to order, as soon as the president walks in the room, all the audience is keeping quiet. You won't hear a peep in the building. All you'll hear is what the president has to say. You know what? The whole world hears the president. And when you're sitting in your own living room, I hear fathers and mothers, husbands and wives saying to one another, shh, quiet down, the president's on. But I think about something for a second. Someone else comes in a room. He's the greatest of kings. Yeah, he doesn't get that kind of respect. You walk into churches, some church houses you walk into, and you hear people going off talking about sports, talking about their games, talking about the bingo being last Friday night. All you hear all about the Super Bowl, but you won't hear one peep out of them about Jesus. And when testimony time comes around, and they say, and the preacher says, hey, stand up, somebody testify of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done in your life. Hey, not a one of them will stand up and say, I know what Jesus did. He saved me.
Well,
you know what you do? You hear them keeping quiet.
Yeah, you do.
I wonder why. I wonder why it is that we'll talk so much about the President of the United States. We'll sit around and talk about all the other presidents. Some of us like to talk about politicians, especially during election time.
Yeah.
Some of us like to read up on all the different things they're going to do. Oh, this man stands for this. Oh, this one stands for this one. But I wonder sometimes, how many of us, if we had an opportunity, would vote for Jesus?
Well,
to vote for Jesus to take over office. Yeah. You hear, my friends? He's the greatest of kings, and we're going to discuss how he was the greatest of kings. But I want to just start for a moment, if I may, just kind of pick up here from the Word of God and kind of see how the greatest of kings became the lowest of man. Let's discuss how his birth shows how he was such a low birth. Let's read here from Isaiah chapter 9, verse number 6. The Word of God says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Now, I just want to stop right there for a second. I want you to take notice of two words. Would you take notice to the word born, and then take notice of the word given. He starts off with a very profound phrase. He says, for unto us a child is born. Unto who? Unto us, the whole world. Unto the whole world a child is born. Then he goes on and says, unto us a son is given. See, when we think about being born, man, what a miraculous event that is. You know, a lot of mothers, they hold baby showers. You know, they're going around praising that, man. They're so happy when finally having a baby. Man, that's the greatest day of their life sometimes. But then you think about the other sentence here, the other phrase. Thus, a son is given.
Yeah.
So we know, number one, my friends, he was a man. He wasn't a woman, as some religions like to teach. Now, I'm not trying to step on no toes tonight, but if you're in this place and you're out there thinking that my God or your God is a woman, my friends, you might want to repent. You might want to pick up your old King James Bible. You might want to come back to the Word of God. You might want to say, hey, where am I getting this from? Because it sure ain't coming from the book.
Well,
maybe you got a perverted book in front of your face somewhere.
Well,
maybe you're looking something else up. But you're sure not looking at what the Word of God says, because the Word of God gives the humanity form of him a male gender by saying son is given. But I love it how he says son is given refers to the deity of our Lord and Savior, this greatest king. See, this great king, he was to be reverenced. He was to be praised. He was to be honored, and he was to be served. But my friends, as we go on here, we see something. We see his name. We see how he says the government shall be upon his shoulders. The whole world should be upon his shoulders. But sometimes I wonder, is our country really, really leaned upon the shoulder of Jesus? Sometimes I wonder, could we really be leaned upon the shoulder of Jesus? You know, a lot of people out there saying, this country's getting better and better. Oh, we're getting better, better. But yet the schoolhouse that decided to expel God from the classrooms over 30 years ago. Check this one out. Our country's getting so much better that, hey, the school can pass out condoms to the children. But the Gideons can't pass out one Bible. There's something wrong with that, my friends. There's something wrong when the schools can teach premarital sex, but a teacher can't stand there one time and preach Jesus. They can't even teach something called creation. In fact, you know what? They won't even call it creation anymore. You know what they call it? Oh, intelligent design. I know an intelligent designer, but I know a creator that started everything out with nothing. He started with nothing, and nothing happened to become something because his voice spoke and something came out of it. I know about an intelligent creator. But my friends, it's illegal for teachers to teach creation. But yeah, they could teach something called evolution. Then they sit back and they wonder why our children act like a bunch of monkeys. Because they're being taught at school, they came from a bunch of monkeys. What do you expect them to act like, teachers? Come on now, wake up. Wake yourself up a little bit. Any of you in this room are teachers tonight. I'm sorry. I don't want to step on your toes. But hey, if you're teaching evolution of kids in school, you're teaching a damnation. You're teaching a damnable heresy. Yeah. It's a heresy. It's going to lead them into a pit of hell. Yeah, sure. I didn't come here to preach on that. No. I came here to preach on the greatest of kings. Yeah. See, the greatest of kings here, we see how he has a great name. Look at his great name. He says, "And his name shall be called Wonderful." Isn't he wonderful? How wonderful has he been to you? Some of us just stop for a second and say, how wonderful has he been? Man, it makes us all, it should make each and every one of us want to get up out of our seat and run to the altar, get on our knees and just thank him. Because he's so wonderful that he chose not to save himself, but save us. He had a chance to save himself off the cross, you know. You know, the Bible says he could have called legions of angels down, but you know what he chose to do? He chose not to even call one angel down. He chose to say, angels, stay still. Keep where you're at. Because I have a mission. I have a plan. And my plan is, do you see them people down there crying? You see them mothers down there crying over their child? See them children down there crying over their mom and dad? Hey, do you see them men that are driving them nails in my hands and my feet? You see them men that are around there laughing, casting lots for my garments? Do you see them? And the angels look and say, yeah, I see him. And this greatest of king didn't one time say, condemn them all now. No, he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Man, how about that? If that don't make you want to say this king is wonderful, I don't know what else will. Because that alone tells me he's wonderful. Yeah. But it didn't just go on and say wonderful, did it? He went on and said counselor. Isn't he a counselor? Yeah. Isn't he a counselor? Who else can he turn to in your time of struggle, in your time of need? Man, you can't turn to a real psychiatrist. Man, you can't turn to old Dr. Phil. You listen to Dr. Phil, he's out there telling people, don't forgive them. Hey, hold bitterness in your hearts. You know how bitterness ends up leading you? Bitterness leads someone to murder. You say, that's not true, preacher. Let me take you back to old Cain and Abel. You know what happened? Old Abel offered a good sacrifice on the Lord. God found pleasure in it. Yeah. Cain wasn't satisfied with that, old was he?
No, he wasn't.
Cain allowed bitterness to take over his heart, didn't he? You know what Cain did? Cain said, I know what I'm going to do. I hate the fact that my brother got God's favor. So I'm going to take my brother's life before God even knows I did it. And you know what? Cain didn't have a clue who God was, did he? He couldn't have a clue who God was. It's clear to see when God comes and God says, Cain, where is thy brother? Cain says, well, am I my brother's keeper? As if God didn't already know what Cain had already done with Abel. See, Cain came at night. Cain killed his brother. See, bitterness leads to murder. Yeah. So, return to old Dr. Phil. My friends, you turned to the wrong source of counsel. But my friends, you turned to the greatest of kings. You know what his counsel is going to be? Forgive him. You say, no, wait a minute, preacher. How can you forgive someone that has done so much wrong to you? Well, let me take you to this greatest of kings once. Let's discuss how this greatest of kings decided to forgive. Well, see, here he is. Meet with an old woman at the well. Here's a woman at the well that come out to the well to get some water.
Yeah, she did.
See, she came out trying to get some water. She had no idea she was coming. She had no idea she was going to run to the living water. Whew. Man, she had no clue about that one. But man, she came to that well of water. You know what happened? You know what happened to that old girl? When she left that well that day, she didn't leave the same way she came up. She left a whole different person. You know why? Because when she came to the king, the king didn't condemn her. Hey, the king looked at her and the king said, go call thy husband. She says, I have no husband. And the king says, you've rightly said you have no husband. For the man you had five husbands, but the man you're with now is not your husband. Wow. See, we see the greatest of kings here knows your sin. You can't cover your sins. You can't hide your sins from this king.
Right.
If this king comes to your presence right now, you're going to be like old Isaiah was in the temple. When old Isaiah in chapter 6, Isaiah says, woe is me, for I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. Man, Isaiah couldn't even stand the very presence of this king without bowing down and confessing he was a sinner. So here you are now, and we're talking now about this greatest of kings.
Yeah.
And how we see this greatest of kings now meeting with this woman at the well. But my friends, you know what he did? As he was speaking to her, he told her about the real, real form of worship.
Yeah.
And he looked at her and he says, woman, if you knew who it was that was speaking to you, and who gave you the water, you would say, can I give you some water?
Yes.
You would want to give him some water. I'm just paraphrasing what he actually said to her. You know what she went and did, my friends? After this, she ran and told all her friends and coworkers. She told them all. She said, you know what? Let me tell you about a man that told me everything I ever did. Now, I just want to think about something for a second. Did he actually tell her everything she ever did in her past? No, but to her, it felt like he did. To her, it felt like he was something. This man was so much better than just a normal man. He could just been some man you run into on the street. Because this man knew everything about her. To her, she knew he read directly into her heart.
Yes.
She knew that she was speaking to the greatest of kings. But now let's talk about the greatest of kings. Other name, it says, Mighty God, Prince of Peace. Now let's move on, my friends. Let's talk about now the life of this greatest of kings. We start off talking about his birth. Well, before I go on his life, let me go back to his birth real fast. See, you would expect this king's birth to come in a kind of fashion that the whole town would have a room for him. You would expect all the people standing outside the door saying, hey, Mary, Joseph, I got a room for him here. I got a room. But you know what happened, my friends? As Joseph came and took Mary back to the town of Bethlehem, something took place. They're riding back into Bethlehem. As they arrived into Bethlehem, Mary realized she was about to give birth. The baby was coming out now. And Joseph, I can just imagine him running up and down the houses, saying, someone, please let me in. Give me a room. Hey,
yeah.
Let me guess. One of his friends opened up the door and said, come on in, Joseph. I got a room for you.
Yeah.
No, that didn't happen. That's not what I read. You know what I read? I read the Bible says there was no room for him in the inn. There was no room. None. Nobody had a room for him. Why? Probably because the town probably thought Mary was committed adultery, and Mary deserved to be dead. Because Mary was born, Mary had a child inside of her that wasn't Joseph's. So they probably figured, Joseph, you married a woman you shouldn't be married to. You ought to put her to death. You ought to kill her. She don't even deserve to live. My friends, we see this child's birth was foretold. See, Isaiah foretold his birth right there in Isaiah 9. Let's go on to Luke chapter 1 real fast, and let's kind of see what the book of Luke says here. The New Testament now, where the birth of Jesus is now coming to pass. And we see how this birth of Jesus, the birth of this king, how the birth of this king kind of kept this town on its ease, the back of its toes. Let's see here what happened now. See, the Bible says in Luke chapter 1, in verse number 26, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph. The word espoused there means married, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Now, I don't want to stop. I just want to stop for a second. I don't want to preach forever on this. But I know there's religions out there that are teaching you that because Mary's highly favored among women, that Mary deserves to be worshipped. My friends, that's a lie from the pit of hell. My friends, Mary does not deserve the worship, but the child that she was carrying deserves the worship. See, he was the greatest of kings, not her. She was just an old woman that God chose to use. Why? Because she was probably the only woman in the town that was one to listen to God. She's probably the only one. So God picked her. But notice the angel didn't say, Mary, praise your holy, wonderful name. Yep. For God chose you today to bear this child because you are deity. Notice the angel said, you're favored among women. Notice that the word of God says, the Lord is with thee. Notice that the Bible says here, God is with her. Saying that God is still the deity, not Mary. Let's go on and read on. It says, and when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said to her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. Yeah. Now we go back to Matthew chapter 1. The Bible says, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. See, as great as the kings came with a purpose. See, he's highly favored. He's highly exalted. We notice that his name is wonderful. Remember, we notice that he's the greatest counselor. Remember, we notice that he's the Prince of Peace. We also notice that he is the mighty God, the everlasting Father. Notice we noticed all these things about this greatest of kings. But now let's talk about his birth. You say, where was he born? Well, you see, my friends, he wasn't born in a house. He wasn't even born in a hotel room. My friends, he was born where the sheep would lay. He is born in an old cow stall. He was born in the most humblest of places. And can I tell you something, my friends? This right here might surprise some of you in this room tonight. But you realize he picked this place to be born? He actually handpicked this place. Before the foundation of the world, he said, this is going to be a place I'm going to be born. I'm going to be born right here. I'm not going to be born anywhere else. I'm going to come right here. And you see, my friends, he fulfilled that very promise. He was born in the most humblest of places. Now, let's move on to his life. I don't want to be in this too long. I just want to kind of share with you tonight how this greatest of kings, who he truly is, man. I love this king, man. I love him so much. He saved me. See, This greatest of kings' life was something beyond what you would call normal life. See, normal kids grow up and they play with other kids. They have a chance to kind of, you know, get some games, have some fun. You know, kids even get themselves into mischief, don't they? Kids love to get themselves into mischief. But see, this kid, he didn't get into mischief when he was growing up. This kid kind of stayed away from trouble. In fact, you know what he was doing at the age of 12? He's like, well, I know what he was doing. He's probably out there smoking cigarettes. Getting ready to pick it up. He's getting ready to party it on. No, my friends, he wasn't getting ready to party. He was out there preaching. Wow. How many kids, you know, at the age of 12 were out there preaching? I don't know that many. But this kid at the age of 12 knew more than the men he was preaching to knew. You know what's funny? The men he was preaching to were the ones that had the word of God. They were the ones that actually had the word of God in their hands. This kid did not have a copy of the Bible. He didn't walk up and have an AV611 hanging on. I got my copy here, man. I'm ready to go. Tell him where to turn to. I'll turn to John chapter 3 tonight. No. He walked up and he says, hey, let's talk for a second. Let's discuss old Zacharias. Hey, I got an idea. Let's discuss Ezekiel. Yeah. You know what these men said? Who is this kid? Whose child is this that knows so much at such an early age? See, before this, there was never a child that knew this much. Never was there a child that could have put grown men to shame as this child did. He put them to shame, my friends. And when he went on, his mother and his stepfather found him, and his mother said, son, didn't you know what you were going to do to us? Look at us. There you see the humanity part of Mary, huh? Those of you who want to worship her. She was so perfect. That's why she didn't realize that this greatest of king was only doing what his father wanted him to do. But she had some ideas in her head. She was too worried about herself and not worried about what God wanted. See, a lot of parents look to themselves. They look and say, I want my child to grow up like this. They don't say, I'm going to give my child up for the Lord. I'm going to let the Lord take care of my child. I want what God's will for my child. That takes a real, real woman or man of God who are willing to say, my child is in God's hands. And if God wants my child to move thousands of miles away, or my God wants my child to move out of the country, I'm going to let my child go. And I'm not going to sit back and cry. Because they're in God's hands. A lot of parents are afraid to let their kids go to war in Iraq. Because they're afraid. maybe God's calling on your child's life, parents in this room tonight, is let your child go to Iraq. Because maybe God has a plan for your child over there. But anyway, let's just look here. Jesus, this great king, looks at Mary and he says, Mary, did you not know I be about my father's business? Why are you looking for me? And you know what? The next time you hear from this man, he's at a wedding. And at this wedding, this is probably the most highest of weddings in the town. In fact, this wedding was probably all over the news. They probably had news cameras and all over this place saying, here we go, this is the greatest event to take place this side of heaven. Yep. Well, here all of a sudden, only royal people were welcome at this wedding. Only people who great honor and great interest were welcome at this wedding. Well, here's this great king. He walks in with his men, his quote-unquote peasants, his fishermen that he called out of fishing. And he called to become real fishermen. Fishers of men. Here he is. Well, here he is with these old men. And his mother looks at his mother and says, whatever he says to you, you do it. This great king looks at her and the great king says, woman, what have I to do with you now? Mine hour has not yet come. It wasn't his hour yet. This wasn't the reason why he came. But my friends, he did something at this wedding. He performed his first miracle. And his first miracle, my friends, was performed for everyone else. If you notice something about this king's life, I don't know if you noticed it, if you're reading your Bible, but I noticed it. Every one of his miracles, you won't find one that he ever performed for himself. During his life, you always find his miracles were for others. Man, what kind of a king is that? Whew. Tell me he isn't the greatest of kings. But now let's discuss how his life shone he became the lowest of men. Throughout his life, he lived, he performed miracles. He preached openly in the synagogues. He taught people. He taught them the very word of God. And he went on and preached and preached and preached. Multitudes came and followed him. Oh yeah, there were some close encounters with the devil's crowd with him too, when they had to come in there and start their little trouble. But all this king knew the way out. It's funny, this king always chose ways to get away from them. They had no idea where he was going. He could walk openly away from them in the center of a crowd, and they'd be going around saying, "Whoa, where'd he go?" But here we go, my friends. We're looking at this greatest of kings now. And we see the lowest he became. You know how low he became? That the very moment his best friend. Yeah, you say, how do you figure that, preacher? See, this man had 12 best friends. He considered these 12 to be his best friends. They were the closest ones to him. Of all their disciples. Now he had 3 best of friends. But these 12 were his best friends. And one of those 12, he looked at me and says, your hour's come.
That's right.
And he didn't look at him with hatred in his eyes either, my friends. I believe he looked at him with love. And here we find out his best friend came to him by night. And he just come to give him gifts. Oh, my friends, oh, he didn't come to bring a bouquet of flowers. No, my friends, no, he didn't come to bring him chocolate. You know why he came to him? He came bringing a gift, all right. He came bringing the soldiers that were there to arrest him. He knew why they wanted him so bad. He knew because he heard them preaching all the time. He knew how this man's preaching was going to offend this devil's crowd. You won't convince anyone. You couldn't convince him that he didn't know what he was doing before he did it. He had an idea what he was doing. Oh yeah, he did. But he was only in for the money. He only wanted the money. All he cared about was that 30 piece of silver he can get out of it. You know what he did with that 30 piece of silver? He traded innocent blood. He betrayed innocent man. He gave this innocent man up to be killed. Here's this greatest of kings now, my friends. As we look on and we continue to hear on about this greatest of kings story. This greatest of kings went on. And during this time, here we come now. He's coming to be arrested. And as he comes up to him, this friend of his, comes up to him real nice and slowly, and he kisses him.
Yeah.
And this greatest of kings looks at him and says, Judas, betrayest thou me, the son of God with a kiss?
Yeah.
Judas didn't look at him, and Judas didn't say, oh yeah, sure thing. No, Judas walked away, because he probably thought to himself, who is this man? Who is he? Here's the time now. We see this greatest of kings. Remember, we know he was great because of what Isaiah said. His birth foretold. We know he was great. So we know he's the greatest of kings. But what about the most, what about the humblest way of death? This is how we're going to see how he was so low, lower than every other man ever lived the face of the earth. He stood there as this crowd encompassed him, and this crowd came to arrest him. Well, they started beating him. They started spitting on him. They started getting him. Old, one of his other best friends walked up and grabbed a sword and said, chop Malchus's ear off. Malchus probably looked around, and I thought about Malchus too. If you get another C of mine, get another one of my C's back in the back of the room. I have a C back there where I preached on Malchus. When you hear about old Malchus, you hear my little take on what I think Malchus went through. But here we see Malchus, and Malchus looks up, and Malchus is probably thinking, what kind of a man is this? As here, this king doesn't think, now let me get a sword. I'm going to take them all out. No, this king says, let me get down. Grab Malchus's ear. Put it back on his head. And then he stopped his friends and he said, hey, stop. Stop this, man. Those that live by the sword shall die by the sword. Don't do this. It is my time. This is my hour. This is why I have come. This is the reason why I came. You can't stop it from happening. The same message goes today, because no devil in hell can stop this from happening, my friends. And here he is, my friends. This great king. He comes by. And as he's arrested, he's beaten. He's mocked. He's brought before a bunch of ill-conceived men who had ill-conceived ideas already about him. You know what? This trial had already been scripted. They already knew the outcome of the trial before the trial even started. They already knew they were going to find him guilty. There was no way they were going to send him home with a slap on the wrist. So why would they even question him? They already knew they were going to get him guilty. But they questioned him to mock him. They questioned him to trick him. They hate him so much that they questioned him. And during their questioning, they went and asked him questions they knew the answer to. They knew in their heart this man wasn't just a man. Because he claimed out of his mouth he was more than just a man. That's why they want him dead. In fact, you hear it from their own mouth over in John chapter 10. The Bible says in John chapter 10, they looked at him and said, for good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, because thou being a man, makest thyself God. You see, out of their own mouth, confession was made. They realized this man was more than just a man. They knew how great of a king he was. Now here's this man, this great king, as he's getting ready now to lay his life down. Notice I said lay his life down. The great king said, no one takes my life, but I lay it down on my own self. I have the power to lay it down and take it up again. See, my friends, he chose the place he was going to be born. And check this out. He even chose the place he was going to die. He even chose the nails that were going to put through his hands and feet. He even chose the crown of thorns that was going to be placed upon his head. And he even chose the tree he was going to be crucified on. The Bible says he became obedient unto death, even the death of a cross. Why the death of a cross? Why would it say even the death of a cross? Because over in Peter it says, cursed is any man that dieth upon a tree, hangs upon a tree. Cursed is anyone. You know something, my friends? What a way to die when you're the greatest of kings. He chose to die the cursed way. You say, wait a minute, preacher. Why? I'm looking at the reason why right in this room. I'm looking at it right here. You are the reason why. I am the reason why. Hey, when you get home tonight and you see your neighbor, look at your neighbor. They're the reason why. Yes. When you see the people behind the grocery store counter, when you're buying groceries, don't walk in the grocery store and say, I just want to get my grocery and leave. Look at that person and say, you're the reason why.
That's right.
He chose to die. Man, now I want you to think about something for a second. Was there something good in you to deserve this? No. He wasn't looking for a good man to die for. All he was looking for was a sinner. And you know what the great news is? According to the Bible, that makes all of us. The Word of God says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Word of God says, Jesus said, he came to seek and save that which was lost. He came to seek and save the lost. You know what the Bible says? All we like sheep have gone astray. We've all been lost. We're all lost. Whew. But yet this great king came to seek us out. Man. Even in his death, he did something for others. We see in his life he wasn't thinking of himself. We see in his death he wasn't thinking of himself. So we can say this definitely was not a selfish king. And you know what else is great about this king? He didn't lie either when he got voted in. So he got voted in by the Father to be this king. He didn't lie to get voted in. All he had to do was be who he was. God. And he was that. He came down here. He lived and died. But I don't want to stop the death. I want to talk about something happened 3 days later. As they came to the tomb. The women came to the tomb. They found him there. No, they didn't find him. You know where they found him? You know what they found? They found linen cloths. They found old hankies. They didn't find him. They walked out of that tomb. And they're probably sitting around looking like, where'd he go? Who took him? Who took the king? Well. And all of a sudden, can you believe it? The king appears. Hallelujah. After the angel says, why seek ye the living among the dead? Don't you realize he ain't dead? He's alive and well. He's alive, my friends. He rose from the grave. That's why he's the greatest of kings tonight. Because he rose from the dead. It goes well beyond his death. My friends, he's greater than Joseph Smith. He's greater than any prophet. He's greater than any man, woman, or child on the face of the earth. Hey, he's greater than your mommy and your daddy. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Give him praise and glory in the house of God tonight. Don't sit back and let it out. I don't want anyone leaving this place without knowing this king. This king is worthy to be praised. We ought to be up here at this altar tonight, just bowing down to him and saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, because you didn't stay dead as the other ones did. Oh, they might want to worship Muhammad, but you know what Muhammad did? Muhammad went to the grave, but he didn't come out of the grave. When they went to the grave 3 days after Muhammad died and they went to find him, you know where they found him? They found his body still lying there. But you know what the women found? When the women went to the stone to find Jesus, they didn't find his body no more. All they found was an angel clothed in white. And the angel said, why seek ye the living among the dead? Hallelujah! Praise the Lord Jesus. Yeah. He's worthy to be praised, my friends. He's worthy of all honor and glory and power. He's worthy to be praised. No one on this earth is worthy like he is. So we see tonight, my friends, that he is the greatest of kings, and he did become the lowest of men. And I just want you to stop, and I want you to relax tonight. I want you to come to this altar tonight as I give the altar call just in a moment now. I want you to come tonight. If you're not saved, I want you to come tonight and give your life to Lord Jesus Christ. Because, hey, salvation is not in this church. You come to church all your life, it's still burning a devil's hell. Salvation is not found in the water bucket. You get water baptized, it's still burning a devil's hell. Salvation is not found in the Catholic Church. Hey, you go to a Catholic religion every Sunday. Go to Mass. Because, yeah, man, attend all your confession meetings. It's still burning a devil's hell. There's only one way to heaven. And that door is Jesus. There's only one door to open up to get to heaven. And the door's name is Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Hey, no man includes you, Joseph Smith. So don't sit there and say you did more for mankind than Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. No man includes Benny Hinn. Yeah. Hey, no man includes your pastor. Some of you sit in this room think, Oh, my pastor's the man. My pastor's a great man. My pastor's going to lead me in the right direction. Hey, if your pastor ain't saved, he ain't going to lead you in the right direction. He's going to lead you into a devil's hell right next to him. You might want to follow the one who will lead you in the right direction, and his name is Jesus. Look past that man back there behind that pulpit. Look past that man and look to the cross. Look to the empty cross. Look to the empty tomb and look for the Savior. Hey, my friends, you don't believe me tonight? Go up to Jerusalem and look at the stone. Tell me if he's there. Tell me if you find his body, my friends. Hey, if you find his body, come on back and tell me where it is, because I'd love to come by and put some spices on it. Well, my friends, you ain't going to find his body anywhere. My friends, I'm telling you the truth tonight. This king is the greatest of kings, and he did become the lowest of men. And I'm telling you the truth tonight, my friends, he deserves worship. The Bible says the fool saith in his heart, there is no God. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Don't be a fool tonight, my friends. Don't be a fool by walking out of this place saying there is no God. When you're here tonight, come to this altar. As now I give the altar call, I want every eyes closed, every head bowed, and I just want you to listen here. If you're sitting in this room tonight and you're unsaved, you've never known Jesus, you don't know this king the way I preached him tonight, you don't know who he is, you might have heard about him in Sunday school, but you never possessed him as your Lord and Savior. If that's you tonight, my friends, will you slip up your hands? I'm not asking you to join this church. I'm not asking you to jump in the water bucket and get water baptized. I'm not asking you to attend some confirmation. I'm not asking you to come up here and get laughed at. I'm just asking you to raise your hand if you want to know Jesus. Because, my friends, I can care less if you ever come to church at this church ever. I just want to know you're going to heaven when you die. I want to know when I get there, I'm going to see your face. I don't want to see your face going the other direction. I want to see your face up there shouting, glorifying him, a chance to praise him like I am. A couple of these other brethren here are. If you're here tonight and you say, I'm saved, preacher. I'm a saved man. Maybe you're not telling him. Maybe you haven't told a single soul about the Lord Jesus Christ in your life. Tonight could be the first night of your life where you dedicate that to the Lord. Where you come up and you say, I want to dedicate my life to you now, Lord. I want to dedicate every day of my life telling someone about you. I don't want to go to bed no more without telling one soul about you. I want to make that commitment to you, Lord. Maybe that's you tonight. Or maybe you've been a soul winner all your life and you're just right now, you just want to come. And you just want to say, Lord, open more doors that I might win more to Christ. Maybe that's you. If that's you, come. Come tonight. Don't be afraid. Just come. As I turn the service back over to your pastor, I want to thank you and give you praise. Give the Lord praise and glory now. Amen.